We were looking in 1 Corinthians 5 this morning, and we were talking about that man there who was living with his father's wife, and it was such a hideous sin that Paul says to them, even the people out in the world would be disgusted by something like this happening. They wouldn't even stand for something like this. So it kind of causes us maybe to wonder, what brought him to this point? How did he get to the point where he thought this was okay? That he thought this was a good idea? And as we consider that, I want us to consider Proverbs chapter 7. And obviously, as we read through Proverbs 7 and in the backdrop of 1 Corinthians 5, it's hard to avoid seeing the sexual aspect there, because both of them are talking about sexual sin. But the fact of the matter is, the same steps are followed. The same pattern comes out in any sin that overtakes someone's life. Whatever it is, it's always the same pattern. So in this case, we're looking at the end of purity. In Proverbs chapter 7, we see a story of a young man who was pure. He was clean. He was innocent. And he is led astray, and he loses his purity sexually to an adulterous woman. And Solomon is writing this story as an eyewitness who's watching this boy and watching what happens to this young man and how he goes wrong. And so as we look at this, I want us to consider the warning, first of all, that he gives. He says, if you'll say to wisdom, this is in verse 4, if you'll say to wisdom, you are my sister, and call understanding a close relative, they may keep you from the adulterous woman, from the loose woman who flatters you with her words. Now obviously, remember, of course, Solomon is writing Proverbs to his son, and most likely we think Rehoboam, who becomes king after him, although Rehoboam didn't learn a lot of wisdom from the things that Solomon warns him about. Maybe he felt like it was a case of do as I say and not as I do. How many wives and concubines did Solomon have? 1,000? And you're going to tell me about how to be with women? You got 1,000, you can't even stay with one woman, and you're going to tell me about it. And he's warning him about, you know, stick to the wife of your youth and all these things, and it's like, well, who are you to tell me about these things? So maybe that's why Rehoboam didn't listen. We don't know why he didn't learn the lessons from his father that he should have. His own father didn't learn the lessons like he should have. He fell away from the Lord toward the end of his life. But he tells him, you may be able to do this. So because it's a man talking to his son, obviously everything's going to be about the adulterous woman, the woman who flatters with her words. But the same would also apply to young ladies. If a mother was telling her daughter, how do you avoid the young man who flatters you with his lips and who's trying to seduce you and draw you away to do things that you shouldn't do? How are you going to avoid that? The same principles apply, whether it's male or female. But of course, because Proverbs is written from a father to a son, we're going to be seeing that in these examples. But as we think about the first 7 verses, we see the first problem with this young man was that he had the wrong priorities. The warning there in verses 4 and 5, say to wisdom, you're my sister. Call understanding a close relative of yours. Stay close to wisdom and understanding, and they will keep you out of trouble. But this young man didn't heed that warning. He had other priorities. So Solomon then says in verse 6, for at the window of my house, through my window lattice, I looked out, and I saw among the naive, I discerned among the youths, a young man who lacked wisdom. So instead of making wisdom his friend, and making understanding a close relative or a sister, making these part of his life, in other words, this fellow lacked any understanding. He didn't have any wisdom. Now, obviously, we expect young people not to have a whole lot of wisdom. They haven't lived long enough to get that wisdom. However, we need to be doing everything we can to instill in the young people that we know some wisdom. It will save them a lot of heartache and turmoil down the road, and as it would have this young man. So this young man is void of understanding. He hasn't got any wisdom. He doesn't understand anything, and he's naive. He just doesn't get it. He didn't have the right priorities. He was not putting wisdom into his life. He wasn't having understanding. So if he'd have followed the things that he was warned about earlier on, if he had kept the commandments of his father and of his mother, you know, if he had obeyed the instruction, if he'd have done that, if he had bound them on his forearms and put them on the table of his heart, as verse 3 says, if he'd have done those things, then he would have had enough wisdom to avoid this problem that he's about to run into. Now then we see in verses 8 and 9, not only did he have the wrong priorities in life, he was in the wrong place. He had the wrong destination in mind. He was in a place he didn't need to be. I've known a lot of folks who met their spouse at a bar, and surprise, surprise, they had troubles. Bar's not a good place to meet a good person that's going to be faithful and sober and help you out. They're going to be the person who, well, they'd like to hang out in the bar. I met other folks who, you know, and certainly it's never foolproof. You've met folks that met their spouse at church, but they still had troubles. That's going to happen sometimes. But your odds are going to be better if you're meeting your spouse at church than if you meet your spouse at a bar. It's just going to be a whole lot better off. Well, this young man did worse than the bar. He's meeting this young lady that he runs across at the brothel. That's where he met her, and that's even worse. Notice what he says in verses 8 and 9. He was passing by the street near her corner. Well, we know what kind of women stand on the street corners, don't we? He was passing by her corner, making his way along the road to her house. And in the twilight, the evening, in the dark of the night. So not only was it the wrong place, it was the wrong time. You know, there's some places you just don't go at night. And this was one of them. So he had the wrong priorities. He's in the wrong place at the wrong time. Do you start to see some of the mistakes this young man made? And it was easy for Solomon, looking out his window and watching this, so to speak, happen, to see this boy making these mistakes. One of the best ways to not let temptation get the best of you is to avoid it. Stay out of the places where temptation hangs out. Now, obviously, Satan can tempt you anywhere, and he will try. But there are some places that are just his territory. We don't need to walk into the enemy's camp and lay our armor down and just walk in there, hey, here I am. And that's what this young man did. He walked right into the devil's lair, right into the lion's den. And he is going to suffer for it. In verses 10 through 20, we see him meeting the wrong person. He meets the wrong kind of person there, because he was in the wrong place at the wrong time. And, you know, a lot of things could be avoided. A lot of bad things that happen are because we're doing the wrong thing at the wrong time with the wrong motives. And, you know, we're doing everything wrong. And you know what? Two wrongs don't make a right. Four or five wrongs sure aren't going to make something right. The more wrong we have, the more wrong we get. And this young man just goes from bad to worse. He goes from one wrong to another wrong. And before long, he's neck deep in wrong. So this woman suddenly comes out to meet him. She was dressed like a prostitute with secret intent, verse 10 tells him. She was a lady of the night. She's loud and rebellious. She won't remain at home. At one time outside and another in the wide plazas, but by every corner she lies in wait. She's just looking for the chance. Notice verse 13. She grabbed him and kissed him. Now, you know, if a stranger that you've never met before grabs you and kisses you, wrong there. But he doesn't recognize that as something wrong. And with a bold expression, she says, I have fresh meat at home today. I have fulfilled my vows. That's why I came out to meet you, to look for you, and I found you. I've spread my bed with elegant coverings, with richly covered fabrics from Egypt. I've perfumed my bed with myrrh and aloes and cinnamon. Come, let's drink deeply of love. Well, that's not real love she's offering. But like many in the world, they change the definitions of words. She's not offering him love at all. She's offering him a short-term pleasurable experience, but that's it. There's no love there. Not really. And so she goes on to say, my husband's not at home. That's a warning right there. He should have recognized how wrong that was, but no. He's taking a bag of money with him, and he's going to be gone on a long journey. He'll be gone all month. So we're going to have plenty of time to be involved together, she tells him. She persuaded him with her persuasive words and with her smooth talk. She compelled him. So, but he's met this wrong person, this person who's trying to snag him. Have you ever found in your life there are certain people who help you do better and help you live right and help you be stronger against temptation, and there are other people in your life that if you're around them, they tend to drag you down? He met the wrong person. Well, one of the reasons he met the wrong person is a lot of the right people aren't going to be hanging out in the wrong places at the wrong time like he was. They're going to be in the right places, doing the right things at the right times. And then in verses 21 through 27, we see the rest of the story. All of these wrongs lead to even more wrong. The wrong priorities, the wrong place, and the wrong time with the wrong person leads him to the wrong practices. And he gives in. And verse 22 says, suddenly, he went after her like an ox goes to the slaughter, like a stag prancing into a trapper's snare. He went running along to his death. Like an arrow pierces his liver, like a bird hurrying into a trap, and he does not even know it will cost him his life. He doesn't realize. I like watching detective shows sometimes. But it always amazes me in those detective shows, you know, there's usually some bad guys, and sometimes there's two people that are plotting together, whether it's a bank robbery or a murder, they're plotting together. And it always surprises me that, you know, well, we're going to get together and we're going to kill this guy over here. And then, of course, one of them winds up stabbing the other one in the back or shooting them or whatever. You know, well, you were working together with this person to kill that person. What made you think this person was a trustworthy person? And here he is. He's just so naive. He doesn't even realize. Here's this woman who's willing to grab you and drag you in and cheat on her husband and bring you in. What makes you think she's a safe person to be around? What kind of person do you think she really is? And the same thing, you know, young lady. It's such a sad thing. You see it so many times. So many times we see the reverse of this. We see a young lady that gets caught up with a married man. And he's going to leave his wife and he's going to marry her. And the question that I always wonder when I see one of these kind of situations is, if he wouldn't be faithful to his first wife, what makes you think he's going to be faithful to you? What makes you think he's going to stick with you? As soon as another prettier, younger person comes along, he's going to run off with her instead of you. But it's so sad to see young people messing their lives up with all of these wrongs. And Solomon tried to warn them, and we need to try to warn them. And it's crushing when they won't listen, but sometimes some of them will listen. And if we can save even one from going down the path that this young man goes down, it'd be worth it. And notice what he goes on to say. He says, now sons, listen to me and pay attention to the words I speak. We need to tell young people this story from Proverbs. We need to warn them about what worldly people will do out there, what sinful people will try to do to them. He says, don't let your heart turn aside to her ways. Don't wander into her pathways. Don't go there. Stay in the right place. Don't go to the wrong place. Have the right priorities. Have the right heart, not the wrong heart. She has brought down many fatally wounded, and all those that she has slain are a multitude. She's destroyed a lot of folks. Her house is the way to the grave, going down to the chambers of death. And Solomon says, beware. Now, certainly, sexual immorality will get a lot of people. But there are other sins as well that Satan has in his arsenal, and he'll use any of them to get you. But the same patterns apply. The same wrong priorities, the same wrong heart, the same wrong going to the wrong places at the wrong times and meeting with the wrong people will lead you to those wrong practices. And like this young man, the purity will be lost. It'll be destroyed. Innocence will be destroyed. If you have allowed Satan, through the use of others, to deceive you and trick you and get you to fall into the wrong practices because you were at the wrong place at the wrong time with the wrong people, whatever the situation was that led you there, if you're involved in the wrong practice, get it right. Repent of that. Come out of that. Don't remain in that wrong practice. This young man could have left. He could have still turned back and come back out of her pathways to the right pathways. But Solomon warns that he followed her to the grave. Don't follow Satan to the grave. Follow Jesus in resurrection from the grave. If you have a need to respond to God's invitation for any reason, please do so as we stand and sing.